set the tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
We're ready in hour three. This merry little program is just flying along. If you missed anything from hour one or two, or would like to go back and re-listen to them, and you listen to every second of them, just go to 1080thefan.com and you can download the Les Schwab Tires podcast right there, right on the thing.
I'm bored.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Hey, did you see Tyron Smith of the Cowboys wearing a knee brace on his arm?
No.
In the Eagles-Cowboys game the other night?
That was glorious.
That was the coolest thing of the weekend that I have not heard anyone talk about. Yeah, so they showed his arm. He's got an elbow issue.
Yeah.
And he's the big old honking offensive lineman for the Cowboys. And they showed
find
his
an
arm.
Elbow brace?
No, that he had a knee brace on his arm.
Yikes.
Did you
hear why?
No.
They said his elbow and arms were too big. The elbow braces didn't fit his arm.
Well, I mean, that would be what I would assume. I thought there was maybe something else that they said.
No, but they were just saying they tried every elbow brace they had and none of them fit him, so they had to go to a knee brace.
Dude, yeah. Awesome.
That's a huge... Huge person.
That would not happen to me.
You're bored?
No, I'm having a great time. I love sports, man.
Yeah.
Big sports
fan.
We
just got done with
the
news.
Jason Quick's coming up, too.
I know.
And that's big because, trouble in paradise.
Oh, is there something going wrong with the place? Well, was it last week that he said he was going to try to investigate what the oversight looks like?
Yeah, he did. He put out a piece on that.
So,
did you see that?
I actually did not see that. So
yeah, so he learned that Jody Allen is actually the one calling the shots, Paul Allen's sister. We thought maybe it was Burt Cold,
yeah.
Paul Allen's right-hand man, but no, it's Jody. And, of course, a lot of it was just the company line from McGowan and Olshay. And basically any time – well, Olshay didn't even speak to him, but McGowan did, who's the Blazers team president. And basically any time he or Olshay speaks, I just assume that the truth is the opposite.
Okay, that makes
sense. But – they were. He did go on record that he does speak with Jody regularly, much like he spoke with Paul regularly. And I think they said something to the effect of that he's got a 3-year plan. The Blazers, business-wise, is doing very well.
Yeah.
And a lot of that's due to McGowan. McGowan's done a really good job on the business side. And he said, well, you know, she hasn't said she's selling, which is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, she probably wouldn't tell him anyway, but, you know. So, yeah, he put out a piece on that.
Yeah, so things are not
going
well.
And they lost last night.
And then they play the Raptors, who just beat the Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be, before we get to the Hot 5-5, wouldn't it just be like them to win that game?
Oh, of course it would.
Right?
That's what I'm predicting.
Quintessential Blazers. Like, you think they're in the toilet, and then they get the best team in the NBA who just blew out the Warriors, and then they'll probably win.
Yeah. Well, we can keep talking about this because this is probably number 5 in the Hot 5-5. So let's just open the thing and do the whole thing.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Number 5.
And there it is. Number 5 was the Grizzlies beating the Blazers last night, 92-83. CJ had 40 points in the game. If you take out CJ McCollum's shooting percentage, the Blazers shot 27% in that game.
Mm.
But with CJ, they still had a chance with 5.5 minutes left to win that one. They only scored 83, much below their 112-point average for the season.
Yeah, so he is... To me, I think he is overrated, first of all.
This is C.J. McCollum.
Yeah, I think he's overrated.
Not Jason Quick.
But it's so hard to call him overrated when he drops 40. But at the same time, he drops 40 and they lost by 9. To me, he is Monte Ellis.
Yeah.
I mean, that game, he was keeping them in that game. But there was nothing else he was doing to help them, and particularly defensively. And Conley just decided, you know what? Screw you. I'm winning this game. I wish there was more like another level to CJ's game where points are great, scoring. No one's saying you're not a great scorer. You're excellent at it.
He made half the field goals for the team last night. That's great.
It's right. Just in what other ways do you put the team on your back when Lillard's 4 of 18 and he's not carrying you like he always does? He doesn't have that component. He's all score, which to me is Monte Ellis, and it didn't help him win the game, so why does it matter?
And again, at 5:30, we talked to Jason Quick, and I think that's one of the things that I want to bring up with him is what else is there to CJ? Elsewhere in the NBA, reports are that Dirk will get his first start of the season for Dallas. Yeah, Dirk Nowitzki is going to come out and, play, finally, for it.
Hey, that Doncic guy is legit.
Isn't he? He looks good.
He's good, man.
Check Trae Young at the rim when they play head-to-head. The other news is that it sounds like January before we get to see DeMarcus Cousins show up and help the ailing poor Golden State Warriors who just need another all-star to crack into their lineup.
What do you think's going on there? You think they're coasting a little bit, or are there real problems?
I think they're coasting because we saw a lot of this last year, a lot of the same signs, and Kerr,
totally
I think, has basically said as much. But yeah, when you have five all-stars that you can have as a starting lineup.
Although Durant's kind of a bitch, so you never know.
That's a fair point.
Number three.
You already kind of teased this. There's a trade going on between the three teams. It's Cleveland, Tampa Bay, and the Seattle Mariners.
And I don't understand it.
Well, and don't worry about that, because here's the thing. Carlos Santana is one of the pieces the Mariners traded. He's been in their organization for exactly 9 days. So even if we knew what was going on in that, the funnier thing is that the trade was made where Jerry DeBoto was in the hospital with blood clots in his lungs, and he's still on the phone making things happen.
Unbelievable.
That's a crazy part.
I don't know what that's like. They were down in Vegas at the winter meetings. Yep. He got rushed to the hospital because he was feeling sick, and turns out blood clots in his lungs. But he still pulls off this deal, and the Mariners get Edwin Encarnacion from the Indians, and they get rid of Carlos Santana, but that's basically the same idea in terms of just a big contract veteran that they don't want. So I assume that Encarnacion is going to end up in Tampa Bay?
Well, they're on such a roll of making trades that it's second nature to DePoto. So even when his body fails him, he just continues through the motions. It's like breathing to him at this point.
Encarnacion's not ending up in Tampa Bay. There are two other players involved with Tampa and Cleveland.
Yeah, but I think
the Mariners are trying to add picks and prospects because they have no minor league system. There'll be another trade in the next couple weeks.
They said Encarnacion would end up in Tampa.
I did not see that.
I saw some people without quite an understanding of what was going on. There was conflicting reports is what happened. So some people think he's going to Tampa Bay. Some people think he's going to the Mariners. Like I said, the details of the trade don't really matter because the Mariners are going to continue making moves. They have no farm system. Everything they do now is trying to build that up, including getting rid of everybody you recognize on the roster and people that you didn't know were on the
roster.
Aren't
you a Mariner fan?
I am. It's a fire sale.
Still going to be a Mariner fan?
not when we get Portland baseball. I cannot wait for that day.
Do you mind that what they're doing, though? They're ripping it up? Just starting over?
Yeah. No, I don't, because all they have done is getting close and fall apart because they don't have anybody they can call up and go, all right, we're close. What's our next move? They don't have anybody in waiting to come up and be a star. So they're a very hollow record halfway through the season, and then their true colors come out and they miss the playoffs by six games.
So you do like what they're doing.
I love what they're doing, but I'm not dumb enough to try to keep track of every move. This is progress towards.
Let's wait 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Did we just miss number two?
We may have. It's all football, so we'll just get it in. Carson Wentz has a fractured vertebra. They're trying to figure out if it will do more harm if he continues to play with that.
Aren't they kind of out of it?
That's number four. They're still technically have a chance to win their division or make the wild card, so we'll see what happens. Right now, only the tie that the Vikings have is holding them in the sixth spot, so a bunch of teams still in it at 6-7. And then the other one is, this I guess will be number one, is Thursday Night Football. Eric Berry making his season debut, which they kind of run together, so whatever we missed, we're caught up, I think.
Chargers Chiefs, man, this is a great game. Chiefs are 11-2, Chargers 10-3. It's in Kansas City. I mean, what more do you want? You know what I love about the NFL this year? I love the NFL every year, but what I really love about the NFL this year is there are so many teams that are really fun to watch.
Yeah.
And anytime you pit any combination of Kansas City, LA, the Rams, or the Chargers, the Saints, New England, Pittsburgh, you get any combination of any of these teams playing, it's been great. And you could even throw Chicago in there.
Yeah.
It's just a really entertaining league this year, a lot more offense, and tonight should be fun.
Well, I think I will agree with you that the NFL is particularly great this year, but it's the reason that you brought up earlier in the show that is my favorite thing about it is look at the playoffs. You have all of these new quarterbacks that are going to be in there for the first or second time that are trying to make a name for themselves, but you still have that old guard that's playing well enough to be in there, Roethlisberger, Breeze, Phillip Rivers, Russell Wilson. And then you have all these guys that we don't know what they're going to do, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, Pat Mahomes, all these guys. So the new guard coming in at quarterback I think is absolutely awesome. There's your Hot 5 at 5. It's refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Ducks and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light and please drink responsibly. Hey, the Raiders, they're not having a great season this year, but you know they might be homeless next year.
Yeah, I saw that.
That is bizarre. Let's talk about that before we talk to Jason Quick at 5:30 about your Trailblazers. This is Primetime, and this is 1080 The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Zook on 1080 The Fan.
Well, the NFL is king among sports leagues, and I think that there's no one that would say that they get everything right, but I can't believe how much they bungled the teams moving out of their cities. The San Diego move for the Chargers to Los Angeles has not exactly been received with open arms. And now another really terrible step and a terrible look for the NFL. The city of Oakland has filed a lawsuit against the Raiders saying that they cannot return to their home city in 2019. So that means you have a team going into not just a lame duck year. They're a homeless NFL team. It's insane.
Didn't we know this was going to happen though?
It's been forecasted, but at the same time, you know, they've continued to sign 1-year leases to play at the Coliseum 1 year after another. And we knew that it would be 2020 before Las Vegas was ready with their new stadium. But to have them without a home seems absolutely absurd to me.
Well, it is and it isn't. We know where they're going.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to end up in Vegas and it's going to be a great fit, I think. So I think it's actually kind of cool. If they aren't playing in Oakland, which they probably still will, let's be honest. It's not as if we know for a fact they're leaving Oakland. But so the odds are they're probably staying there and they'll work something out.
And it looks like they're playing one game in London, which will be a home game, and then a game in Mexico City that'll be a home game, I believe.
I mean, what about – okay, so a couple of things. One, they could just go to Santa Clara and share the stadium with the Niners, although – from what I understand, the Niners aren't too thrilled about that.
Well, no, they weren't excited about the idea when it was brought up before. But the crazy thing is Santa Clara is almost exactly the same distance from San Francisco and Oakland. So if they were going to do that, they would have just done that and not let them leave Oakland.
I think they would have. Well, there are three options. One is the guy from San Antonio has been saying for the longest time, hey, come on down here, play in the Alamo Dome. But I guess Mark Davis has a problem with the turf in the Alamo Dome, and he doesn't want to go there. But he's got a buddy down there that I forget the guy's name, but he wants him down there. So they could do that. But that doesn't make as much sense, I don't think, geographically, as either going to Phoenix. Phoenix would be the closest place that they could play to Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and to me, you're doing a lot by gaining, or at least trying to gain fans. If they get better, they get some young hotshot draft picks. You're trying to gain fans that aren't that far from Vegas.
It's an easy drive. I lived in Vegas for a lot of years.
Yeah, how far is that drive?
And we would drive 4 hours maybe, but it flies because there's zero stop signs from the time you get over the Boulder Dam or the Hoover Dam. You get over into Boulder, and then it's a free shot through the desert, so you can go as fast as you want.
So you can go kind of advertise yourself to those guys, and then not that they'll need it in Vegas. There's a lot of people cruising into Vegas anyway. But and then the other one would be San Diego.
Yep.
There's a stadium just sitting right there in San Diego. I mean, go down there, give those fans a little something to cheer for. Maybe you gain some fans that way. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I don't think it's easy on their organization.
Yeah.
You know, as we saw with the Rams having to move and, you know, move all your headquarters and where you're going to do training camp and this and that. But they'll figure it out. It's temporary.
Yeah. And well, the other thing that I think would be interesting too, and I'm sure it's not an option, but you know, you kind of talk about this a little bit with the Chargers, if they host playoff games where they would play, and somebody brought up the Rose Bowl, and I don't know if it was just something they were throwing out there, but you've got another football stadium in Los Angeles that can hold 100,000 people. You have a ton of Los Angeles Raiders fans, and it's closer to Las Vegas even than Phoenix, I think.
Yeah, there's so, that too. There's a lot of stadiums.
It's funny that somebody threw Portland in the mix, though. That's the one I can't figure out. And that's
kind of who?
So I'm looking at the big
league. Where the hell would they play here? You're going to play him out at McKenzie Stadium?
The cities...
Pack that place.
The cities make too much sense. The better fit than San Antonio, Phoenix, Seattle, Portland, and St. Louis have all been brought up, and this is according to the Big
I forgot about St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis still has the stadium.
But still, I think, don't you want to be closer to Vegas and Oakland?
Yeah, I think you want to get as close to Las Vegas as you possibly can.
So why
can.
Would they go to St. Louis?
Again.
They could go to London the whole
time. They're playing one game
could,
in London.
They could play them all over there.
So they only have six home games. But how weird would that be? Because the thing about San Diego is San Diego hates the Raiders. They hate the Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, because San Diego and Oakland or Los Angeles have always been in the same division, so they're a division opponent. You'd get to see a Chargers game down there, which I think people might be excited about, but they've kind of disowned the Chargers now that they've moved to Los Angeles. So I think that would be very, you know, conflicting to have those games at San Diego.
Well, it's not great in that sense anywhere you go.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't, especially if they're going to suck.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think you started off the top. They're probably going to end up playing in Oakland, right?
Yeah. I would bet they'd be back there. Mark Davis is not as, you know, people around the league say, he's not as dumb as everybody thinks he is. Like, he'll work something out in Oakland.
Yeah, I think he has to. Speaking of things that need to be worked out, I know we're probably a little late to it, but now that we know who our college football playoff is, a lot of people are talking about the momentum going into an 8-team college football playoff.
Oh, yes.
And I just wanted to get your kind of quick take, and maybe we can, you know, jump back into this tomorrow or later on if we don't get to it all. I think we will. But have you had a chance to look at what the matchups would be if they took the 8 teams?
This year?
Yeah, and how much would you want to watch those games?
Well, it would have been Bama, Washington. Mm-hmm. Would have been Georgia, Oklahoma, and those winners would play. And then you would on the other side, you would have had Clemson, Central Florida, and Notre Dame, Ohio State. I mean, it's amazing. It, you know, the 8-team thing to me is a slam dunk. Not to say that you can't say there would be problems. There's like, give me any scenario that doesn't have, you know, drawbacks here or there.
Well, we see in the NBA they want to realign because the Western Conference is the stronger conference, and there's Eastern Conference teams getting in that don't deserve it.
If you look at the whole NBA,
the NFL has the 7-9 team that wins a division and hosts a playoff game. Major League Baseball obviously excludes a ton of people, and there's a lot of people that don't like the one game playoff. So, yeah, I think all of the major sports have their issues. And now, if you look at, you know, college football, you have to get closer to some semblance of
you
getting
can't,
the, all the teams in.
You can't have a playoff where three of the Power Five champions aren't in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I said this on the show a couple months ago, or whenever we were talking about it, about how, you know, if this becomes a scenario where the Big 12, the Big 10, and the Pac-12 champ don't get in, that might be what you root for in a sense that that they're not going to stand for that. That is such bad business. I mean, it is becoming, it's just teams from the SEC and Clemson. That's mm-hmm. all it's been for the 5 years that we've had it. Oklahoma's been in there multiple times. Ohio State's been in there multiple times. But it's like, it only makes total sense to jump it to 8. We could talk, 16's another discussion. 6 is even another discussion with a couple of byes. But 8 is great because you don't have to play an extra game. In other words, you would eliminate championship games. Those are dumb anyway. So imagine how good the regular season is coming down the stretch. Like, say, for example, in the Pac-12 this year with Utah having to win, having to beat Colorado, and then, you know, Washington State jockeying for the championship when you know that if you win the league, you are in that tournament. So you'd have the 5 Power 5 champions, you'd have 2 at-larges, and then Central Florida is another team. They have thrown a wrench in this by saying, hey, look, man, we've been undefeated for 2 straight years, and we beat Auburn. I think the big boys are noticing. It's like, man, you know, maybe they do need a spot at the table, and there would be a spot for the top group of 5 team as well. And you don't have to play championship games. You just play on the championship weekend.
Yeah.
So the regular season would end Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
And then that next week, there's your playoff.
But even with that, you still have a month in between those games.
Yes.
If you decide to keep the championship games and they become an extension of the playoff. But the way that the system's set up, you can never put the genie back in the bottle, which is to say, when you created the BCS, you had a championship game, and that championship game made all of the other bowl games less relevant. So then by expanding the playoff, you made, by virtue of that, you made all of the other bowl games even less relevant. So you're never going to go backwards where you can go, no. Oh, the Rose Bowl matters again.
That's right.
It doesn't.
The Rose Bowl does matter, but...
It just not, but not I'm on the same
you.
Level.
You, I'm with you.
Yeah.
But exactly. This is the best way to do it. And look, the three leagues, I don't think it's any coincidence that the three leagues that have missed the playoff multiple times mm-hmm. all play 9-game conference schedules.
Yep.
I mean, it's really screwy how they're doing it, but 8 makes it much more palatable because it's more cut and dry how you get in there as opposed to this stupid ass, and there would still be debates,
yep.
but this best versus most deserving, and basically it what it's come down to is they're looking at recruiting rankings in there. That, you know, it's like you look at Central Florida versus Ohio State or whatever. Who isn't going to pick Ohio State based solely off recruiting rankings when you could definitely make the case that Central Florida would yeah. be more, quote, deserving? So you get yeah. rid of all that crap, or at least
most of it.
Most of it. Yeah. And I just think it would be wonderful. And by the way, it would make all these guys, all they care about is money anyway. It makes them infinite more money, with the exception of, you know, the SEC championship game right now is a big moneymaker yep. for them. The other championship games aren't quite as big. But and the SEC would lose that. But other than that, my God.
Yeah.
And then all that money to pay the players.
If you had a committee and you had to vote right now, would you put the Blazers into the playoffs? We'll ask Jason Quick that next.
I like that.
You're listening to Primetime on 1080 The Fan. Here's Mike with SportsCenter.
Talk to the top Trailblazers beat reporter.
I finally feel like they're using Evan Turner correctly.
The ultimate insider on Portland basketball and the NBA.
This is probably the most dynamic second unit.
This is the Blazer Fan Insider with Jason Quick of The Athletic. Brought to you on The Fan by Change Realty, home of the 1%. Listing fee. You know, today
destroys the night. All right, welcome back to Primetime. Luke Anderson filling in for Isaac Ropp. Isaac Ropp filling in for Souk. Souk is taking the rest of December off. But right now on the Catlin Capital Hotline, we are joined by the Blazers insider for this program and for The Athletic. It is Jason Quick. Jason, thank you for joining us.
How you doing, Luke?
I am fantastic. It's always so wonderful to talk to you.
I don't think he likes you.
I know he doesn't like me.
Why would he?
Wait, I don't like him, or he doesn't like me.
No, I think Quick doesn't like you.
That's a guy I don't like.
He told me that.
I don't know Luke yet.
Oh,
that's fine. Are you on the road next Thursday? I'm back in next week. You can come in. We'll get some drinks, and we'll all hang out and get drunk and say what we really think about the Blazers.
We might be able to do that. I don't think I am in town, and the Blazers don't have a game.
All right. Well, there you go. Next Thursday, we'll do the whole thing live. And
it.
It's Rop's last show before he goes on Christmas break.
Yeah, I'm so going dry
dock.
He's
already going to be 3 sheets to the wind by 5:30.
So, Quicker, come on, man. What is going on here? This fill in the blank question. That'll be the first question. This is as bad as the Blazers have looked to you since blank.
Probably 2 seasons ago, right around this time, back when Alan Crabb was coming off the big. That first, you know, Evan Turner's first year, Alan Crabb got the big contract, wasn't doing anything. Maurice Harkless hadn't become good enough to become a starter during that time when they were really scuffling about and under 500. This is probably as bad as that time.
So that was pre-Nurkic trade, and then they trade for right. Nurk, and they catch fire and they get in the playoffs. Does this feel different to you? Does this rut they're in right now feel like it's something more major? How do you view the slump?
It's major in that it's the same thing for now the third straight year. You know, it's been a little bit different in that last year was the offense that was killing them, and the defense was fine. This year, again, it's like 2 years ago. The defense is the problem. The offense is okay. But the frustrating thing about this, and I think internally for the team, is they know that they can play better. They have had spurts where they can reel off 13 wins, 11 wins in a row. But each year they have these maddening months where they just don't look like a very good basketball team. And I think that's why you don't hear them kind of overreact or panic, because they know they have it within themselves to play better. But I think that's what infuriates the fan base so much, is they've also seen this team play better and it's not happening. But I think the big picture thing, if you step away, is how much longer do you allow this to keep happening? I mean, you know, I wrote a piece today and I kind of alluded to what Toronto did. I think Toronto was in the same boat as the Blazers were, a very good regular season team, make the playoffs every year, but then they get booted. And eventually their GM said, this is insane. We can't keep doing the same thing. So he took a leap of faith and he made some big moves, fired the coach, and made a blockbuster move in getting Kawhi Leonard and trading an intensely popular guy in DeMar DeRozan from their team. And look at them now. They have the best record in the league. They've beaten the Warriors twice. And I think the Blazers are right there in that no man's land where, yeah, they're good, but really what's the upside to this team? I don't think it's very high.
We're talking with Jason Quick on the Catlin Capital Hotline. Quick, when you look at the history of these big moves, you talk about Kawhi Leonard, and I think we know that Paul George was on the Blazers' radar. Have they been trying to make moves and have been unable to do it, or are they unable to offer up enough to make anything happen?
I would imagine it's both. I think Neil wants to improve this roster. But I think he's handcuffed because, one, there's not a lot of attractive assets on this roster. And a lot of what makes the assets unattractive is their contracts that he signed them to. And so I think to get a player of quality, you're going to have to match salaries and pretty high salaries. And to do that, you know, a team is going to be giving up an all-star, and what are they going to get back in return? You know, Myers Leonard and Maurice Harkless and Evan Turner, that I don't think that's going to get a big blockbuster deal done. So, you know, we've talked about this ad nauseum that the way that this team was going to take the next step was that internally some major improvement had to happen. CJ McCollum had to become an all-star. That's not going to happen this year. It looks like he's still a good player, but not a great player. You know, Nurkic is going to have to take that next step. He's been a little bit better, but not markedly. Zach Collins is going to have to be an impact player. It looked like in the first 2 weeks, it looked like he was going to do that. And I think that's why they jumped out to a 10-3 start. Now he's a shell of himself. He's very frustrated, not getting it done. Doesn't look like a difference maker. I still believe in Zach. I think he's going to be a good player, but it's not happening as quickly as I think people wanted it to. So the things internally that needed to happen for this team to take the next step are not happening. And I think that's why we're seeing the same things, because it's the same players at the same level.
Jason Quick's appearances here, by the way, brought to you by Change Realty, home of the 1% listing fee, changerealtynow.com. So I think that one of the things that happens is they overvalue their own guys. And I'm looking right at CJ McCollum. Now, he's an interesting case study because he had 40 last night and he was the one that kept him in that game. But then, you know, poof, it's over and they lose by 9. Do you, because I flat out say it, I just think CJ McCollum is just an overrated player. I think he's a really good scorer. I think he's Monte Ellis, but he does not help the team win in ways that a bigger time player like Damian Lillard has shown to be able to do. It's kind of hard to put your finger on what those things are, but he doesn't have those. Are you in that camp? And do you think that the Blazers would ever at any point punt on this idea that you have to keep Lillard and McCollum together and maybe trade CJ McCollum?
I am quickly trending in that camp that he is not showing improvement to become an elite player. He is not a $24 million player, which is what he's being paid. So will they entertain trading him? I don't know. As I've told you guys, Neil Olshey loves this guy and really believes in him. And he really likes that backcourt. But I think eventually you got to make tough decisions. And I think more and more it's looking that is the avenue for this team to improve. And it's not like that's a revolutionary idea. I think everyone who's a Blazer fan has at least thought about that at some point during their fandom. Boy, should the Blazers trade CJ and get better and try to, you know, have a different approach to this, because right now it gets you only so far. And I think I was kind of waiting to see this year just how much he improved. And I'm not seeing that big leap. Like Lillard came back last year and markedly improved his defense. And I thought Damian played really top-notch defense in the fourth quarter of that Houston loss this week. If you go back and look at it, and I think that's why he had such a bad game at Memphis, is because he was so gassed from that effort in Houston. He kept them in that fourth quarter with some defensive stands against Harden and Chris Paul. But anyways, to my point, CJ's not making that. CJ can be an electric player like he was last night, like he was against Milwaukee when he scored 40. But other nights, he's a 19, 21-point guy, takes a lot of shots, doesn't pass particularly well, does not defend well, not a big rebounder. So he's a scorer. And I think if you're shelling out $24 million, you need a little bit more. So, you know, there's still a chance he can show something, but through 28 games, that's a pretty big sample size. And I think it's really reached that point where, you know, yeah, I would be in that camp that I think it's time for them to explore that. But I don't know that Neil is on that page.
Talking to Jason Quick on the Catlin Capital Hotline every Thursday at 5:30. Quick joins primetime. Jason, I'm looking at the standings for the Western Conference. You've got the Rockets at 12-14. You've got the Nuggets at 18-9. I mean, that's a lot of teams that are good. I don't know how many great teams there are on the West. You assume the Warriors will get out of their funk and just, you know, light the world on fire, especially if they get Boogie. But with all the teams in playoff contention now, is that something that is going to make it more difficult to make a move and find a trade partner, or will that make it easier where you think that everybody's going to be trying to get out of the middle?
I don't know. I don't know that that'll have an effect on it. I think it's hard to make trades, period. But I don't know. I'm really not good at talking on trades because I'm not keyed into that. I mean, Neil is just not that type of guy where he gives you insight into what's going around in the league, how people value his players. So I don't know. I don't know how it'll affect. I mean, he's pulled off a trade in the division with Denver multiple times. So I don't think it's out of the realm.
Yeah, we always talk about it's a slippery subject because, right, we don't know, we're not on the inside, and he's very tight-lipped. But at the same time, it's always like you look around the league and you go, well, other teams do end up pulling them off. Yeah, they're hard to do, but you mentioned that Toronto trade. Damn, that was a good move. You know, it's just like, and sometimes you just got to have the balls to do it. I just think the ultimate problem is he overvalues his guys. But let's get to your story on Jody Allen. Now, you mentioned here on The Fan last week that you were going to try to hunt down kind of how it's working now that Paul Allen has passed, and what did you find out about how it's working behind the scenes?
Well, first I found that nobody really wants to talk about it. but eventually I got some answers, and I think that the two biggest things that I found out was that one, Jody Allen, his sister, is in control and that she has no intentions of selling right now. And I don't know how long that will extend. I get the sense that she right now is in a state of mind that she really wants to honor Paul's passions. And obviously the Blazers are one of his passions. And so she wants to keep this going and keep it in the family and kind of see his vision out. She is allowing Neil and Chris to do their jobs. In other words, she's not kind of stepping in and saying, I think we should be doing this. I think we should be doing that. She's given them a lot of autonomy. There was a minor deal that was presented to the Blazers, enough so that Neil went to her, said, hey, we got this in front of us. And she said, go for it, pursue it. It never did materialize. It was a minor trade, as it was explained to me. So it doesn't look like he's handcuffed in any way as far as making a trade.
So does she follow basketball? Like, I mean, from what the conventional wisdom was always that she didn't like the Blazers and didn't care that Paul owned them.
Yeah, I don't think she's as passionate and as up to speed as Paul was in basketball matters, but I've been told that she does not have a distaste for basketball and does not have, you know, does not kind of thumb her nose down at the Blazers, because that's always how it was presented to me. But, you know, recently they said, no, that's not the case. And again, that she really wants to see Paul's passions and his vision kind of play out. So as of right now, she's really behind this venture.
And Bert Cold, I know a lot of people just assume that Bert Cold would be the guy because he was so close to Paul.
Yeah.
How do you characterize his involvement now?
I think it's much the same as before, maybe probably even a little bit more powerful. He was at the Phoenix game last week. I tried to talk to him. He declined an interview. But he is always, you know, he's kind of head of the board of directors for the Blazers. He's very, any move that goes down, he's keyed in on it. He's filled in on it. So I still think that he'll kind of have his thumbprint on things. But I don't get the sense that Bert feels like he's any more important than he is from a basketball standpoint. I don't think he's going to be weighing in and saying, no, I think we should go this direction, or I think we should do that. I think he, again, leaves that to McGowan and Olshay to make those decisions that are in their field.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. I appreciate your insight. Tomorrow, the Blazers have the Raptors, and then they have the Clippers Monday and the Grizzlies on Wednesday. So before we talk to you next week, they'll probably go on a 3-game win streak, and we'll all change our attitude about this team.
Wouldn't that be so Blazers, right? When everyone just thinks they're out, yep. they'll turn it around and get a big win.
Yeah.
It's happened so many times before, and that's what, you know, that's a level of intrigue about this team.
Well, let's try to make it happen. We'll have you in studio next week. We'll rattle some ice, as they say, and we'll get everybody ready for the holidays if you can make it happen.
Well, Isaac can tell you some stories of Buzz Quick on this show, so we might have to reenact that.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good to
see
me.
You. All right. See you, man.
Okay, see you.
All right, there's Jason Quick.
He's great. You know what? And I tweeted this, too, after last night's game, but I've been saying the same stuff for like 3 years. And I think fans are now just so tired of it, to the point where it's like, if you're truly tired of this purgatory that the Blazers are in, that is very predictable. We've seen this act before.
Well, let's talk about that before we get into the club hour.
Hold on.
Okay.
If you're tired of it, it is not a horrible suggestion to root for complete and utter meltdown.
Yeah.
To force the change that you want.
I mean, that's just rooting.
It sucks, but it may be the way to get the one way to start the trend out of this really boring, I think boring, middle of the road type of franchise that you have right now.
Well, I have a couple thoughts on some of the things Jason said, but let's talk about those next, and then we'll get into the club hour, and we'll have a gay old time, as they say. You're listening to Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Not a ton of time here. We went a little long with Quick, but it's great to talk to him. I always appreciate the opportunity to be able to sit in one of your guys' chairs and talk with Quick, because it's cool to get kind of the insight on it. But we got on it a little bit late in there. But talking about the way the organization is right now, I just wonder how much that hampers. If Jody Allen is worried about carrying on, you know, Paul's team, I wonder how worried she is about making big market changes to it, right? We talk about moving CJ or any of these guys. If she thinks that, you know, these guys were loved by Paul, is she going to kind of err on the side of caution with everything?
You
Does
know,
that
I,
make sense?
I get what you're saying. I get the sense that it's pretty much business as usual over there, and I don't think she, or it sounds like Bert Cold, are really going to get in the way with any sort of big agenda. Paul was the biggest fan.
Yeah.
He was the one that, you know, had his hand in everything and, you know, maybe, I don't want to say overstepped his bounds because he owned the damn team, but you know what
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Maybe outside of his expertise, but still weighed in and was a decision maker, obviously. But I don't think, I feel like those two are, I don't know. It sounds to me like it's pretty much Neil Olshey and Chris McGowan going about their business until they are told otherwise that the team is on the market or this or that. But, you know, that may not be true. They just don't give us a very good look into the goings on. I feel like this team is, it's the same team. It's been the same team for whatever, 3-4 years. The West is now better.
Yeah.
You look at that West, man.
Dude, it's so even.
It's insane.
I got a question for you though, and try to be as honest as you can. How hard do you think that job is? Like, if you were thrown into general manager or team president, how difficult is that job in the NBA to actually make any headway when we know it's going to be Warriors or there's only a couple teams that have it? And you know, Jason mentioned it's like trying to make those trades is really difficult. How tough is Neil Olshey's job?
Yeah, I think it's very tough. I mean, it, you know, there's no question it's not easy, but, you know, it's like we were laughing at Danny Ainge for all those years, and then Danny Ainge flips the script and wins a championship with a couple of trades, right? I mean, I don't know. I just, we always talk about how hard it is, and all these are complicated in the CBA, and it's very hard to, but yet everybody's pulling them off. Like, they are happening, and you don't think that a team can land, a team like Toronto can land Kawhi Leonard, and yet they did.
Yep.
I mean, you can go back to the stupid Pau Gasol trade, like, for the Lakers. Are you kidding me? Like, there are some trades in this league that you look at and go, wait, they got him?
Yeah.
You know, and Paul George to Oklahoma City. Nobody saw that coming.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not an easy job, but at the same time, there are a lot of people around the league, whether it's, you know, I mean, it's not like every trade is a great trade, but they're at least taking the risks to put together a better roster. The Blazers, I just think they overvalue their players.
Yeah.
And I also am starting to think that this team really doesn't care about winning as much as you would hope that they would. I think that a lot of these guys in the league, this is not a Blazer problem. This is a league-wide problem. Guys are cashing checks and they're happy cashing checks. Yeah. And does losing really cut them to the core? And I think you have to ask that question about the makeup of this team. I think there may be some guys like Lillard may be more competitive than others, but I just see CJ McCollum I see a lot of signs that he's a selfish player that likes getting 40 and doesn't care whether they win or lose, and he's cashing checks and that's it. And that's not going to win you. If you look at the West, man, that's not going to get you anywhere. And the Blazers are above 500 and they'll probably go on another run, but they're still not good enough to beat anybody in a playoff series. Think about it, man. You've got
there's 12 teams that could beat them, and there's only 8 of them are going to be in the playoffs.
Well, you look up and down the West, and even the Rockets the other night, you know, they're second to last in the West, and they're only 2 games under 500. And do you want to play them if they go on a run and get in a playoff series? I mean, it's so crazy. You've got Denver.
One through 15 is good.
Yeah, pretty much. But real quick, you've got Denver, Oklahoma City, the Clippers, the Lakers, even the Kings. And Dallas now is back. Those are all kind of new kids on the block in the West, and all the teams that we thought would be good are now on the outside of the playoff picture looking in, like Utah, San Antonio, but after the trade, but Pelicans, Timberwolves, Rockets. It's fascinating. Like a couple of those teams, the two teams I don't believe in that I don't think will go on a run are the Timberwolves and the Spurs. I think everybody else, Pelicans, Jazz, Rockets, that are outside of the current playoff picture can jump in.
Yeah.
And that makes it really hard for the Blazers, because are the Grizzlies going away? The Lakers sure as hell aren't going away. Oklahoma City's not going anywhere. Golden State and Denver aren't going anywhere. It's tough this year, and the Blazers just aren't good enough. They don't stack up.
The Blazers are mediocre, and they're boring. The club hour is not.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've got fried chicken fire logs, and I've got cream corn that'll kill you, and I've got all kinds of things.
Hey, a surprising lack of drops on today's show.
Yeah, Mike's really.
I don't know what's going on with Mike in there.
He's dropping the ball. Wordplay.
There's a lot of stuff going on in
here today. Let's go to the club hour. Hey, he'll take care of the drops.
Mike's got some drama.
He'll make up for it when we open the club next. You're listening to Primetime on 1080 The Fan.